He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We're going to call it a mixed open today, on a day that we hope there will be progress made on the debt limit talks. The NASDAQ is up 47 points today. It continues to break out. This breakout began a couple weeks ago, and the NASDAQ is closing in on 13,000. It's currently at 12,709. The Dow, however, is down 116 points. It's at 33,310. And the S&P is basically flat right now, 4,192, up just a little bit under 1 point. The Russell 2000 small caps up 0.5% right now. Crude oil is up a nickel to $71.60. Gold is down $8. You had a pretty good rally in the U.S. dollar last week. That sends gold lower. Gold is down $8 to $19.73. Silver's down 19 cents to $23.87. The 10-year is kind of flat-ish, but it's at 3.70 today. And Bitcoin is up 77 to 26,996. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We've got Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, I guess this week we'll be looking for a resolution to the debt ceiling crisis. Biden's back in town. He spent some time in Japan with the G7. And today he'll be meeting with Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, I think I saw something that's like they're going to meet at 4:30. I don't know if that's they're going to speak together at 4:30 or what. But yeah, at 4, I was going to ask your perspective on this. Almost kind of like everything takes a pause and everybody, this is kind of the theater for a period of time, at least from a market perspective, now that, a lot of earnings have already come in, so.
Yeah, and it seems like to me that President Biden himself was willing to make some concessions on the, work for benefits and things like that. But it seems like while he was out of town, the way the mice do play, it seems like the hard left side of the Democrats kind of put their foot down and said, no, we're not budging at all on that. And that just kind of brought a screeching halt to the talks on Friday. And the Republican negotiators walked out on the negotiations and said, well, we'll wait till Biden gets back in town.
Yeah, they had probably had plans for the weekend. They've been working hard the last few days. It's like we just say we're going to walk out. It's like actually we're going to take the weekend. We'll be back.
And they got to get rested up for that long vacation that gets them ready for, the summertime off and all that, this and that. But anyways, hey,
and that's what we're going to have a lot of talking this week. I mean, we've got, three Fed speakers today. We've got, I think, at least one tomorrow, a couple on Wednesday, and we actually get the Fed minutes on Wednesday. So, and we're going to, basically be, watching people's conversations, I think, or reading about their conversations for the next, few days as this, gets resolved.
Yes. Okay. And we had, we had a good week in the market last week. I wrote all about it that in the newsletter. Number one, I showed the breakout in the NASDAQ, and I showed the breakout in the ETF FNGU, which is three times the the FANG index. A lot of people don't realize that the FANG index is a lot more than just those four or five companies. The FANG Index top 10 holdings are Meta Platforms, Tesla, NVIDIA, Advanced Micro Devices, Netflix, Apple, Amazon, Snowflake, Microsoft, and Alphabet. And that's where the market, there's your performance in the market so far this year in 2023. It's basically those 10 stocks that have been moving the market. And you had a massive breakout last Thursday, which I showed in the newsletter, FNGU. And, I mean, you really had a breakout on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday, it was a really big breakout. And stocks like NVIDIA, Netflix, et cetera, just huge breakouts. So, I mean, we finished the market on a pretty good note, especially in the big tech stocks. And then on Friday, we had a little bit of profit-taking due to the continued wrangling over the debt limit, which is coming up now. Today is May the 22nd. So you're talking like, you know, over the next 10 days, 14 days, something's got to give. So,
and I think what Yellen mentioned, I think she threw out there, you know, she doesn't, you know, think they could make it through the 15th, I think, you know, is where things start getting really weird. So, you know, in terms of what, you know, could you potentially have some sort of default, right?
Exactly. And what would... Well, you know, the NASDAQ has now broke out. I mean, never mind at bottom. I mean, you could go through these stages. It bottomed in last October the first time. It bottomed the second time in late December. That, to me, told me that the bottom was in. You had a double bottom. Then you started to get these moving average crossovers in the Dow and the S&P, and it was just a matter of time before the NASDAQ had one, then it had one, and then it was just a matter of time before the NASDAQ broke out to the upside. It's the first index to break out to the upside, and it looks to me like the S&P 500 is right behind it.
I mean, it's resilient. I mean, even it's positive this morning, and that's with Bullard, the Fed speaker, who essentially said he thinks that they're going to need at least two more hikes.
Yeah,
and you've got the NASDAQ still up in light of those types of stories. So it's pretty interesting.
Bullard,
he's a non-voting member, by the way.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that's always out there with a very hawkish tone. And, most people think no more hikes. So in fact, we'll get to the odds of that here in a bit. But suffice it to say, the S&P was up, 1.65% last week. That's the best performance since March. The NASDAQ had a massive breakout, especially on Thursday. And the earnings season has gone really well. I mean, we were expecting $50 in earnings for this quarter. It's now $53. That's beating earnings estimates by 6%. And that also translates to higher expectations going forward. You had the QQQ touch a 52-week high, the NASDAQ, and actually breaking out. So, I mean, it looked pretty good here on the market. Now, it's a little cautious, okay, and I said it looks like the S&P 500 looks poised to break out to me. What would do it? A resolution, obviously. Some kind of a resolution to this debt limit crisis. And both sides are going to have to give something. It seems like they're both got their feet in the sand, and there's just going to have to be some kind of a resolution made. Okay, so now the markets revised their expectations for the Fed's anticipated pause. So the consensus now is where we're at. The analysts have moved towards what we've been predicting since early this year. They expect a pause now.
Here's what an 82%, something of that nature, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's see. Up until last week, the markets were pricing in a nearly 30% chance of a 25.
Right.
No, that probability. Okay, yeah.
And it went down. I think it went down from there. I think now it's. I think it went from basically a 70% chance of a pause, and essentially I think now it's even an 82 something. Essentially it was 30% at the end, and by the end of the week it was like 13% or something of that nature.
Yeah. So Bullard, he's kind of out there.
He's a non-voter. He's a non-voting member, by the way.
I can see why.
So he can say he can kind of say what he wants, I guess.
Yeah. Shut up. What's his? Bullard. What's his first name? I can't think.
Yeah,
of his
name. James, I believe.
Yeah,
he's
shut
out
up,
of the St. Louis. I just know he's out of the St. Louis Fed. But
you don't get to vote anyways. Two more rate hikes is what he's predicting. Okay, when we come back, a couple of big macro latest forecasts from Bank of America, and the latest forecast from our friends at Morgan Stanley. And a massive fight between Micron and China. This is hurting the chips a little bit here today. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's The Best Stocks Now show. June the 13th and 14th, we will be in Minneapolis, actually in Bloomington, for 2 days. We are meeting with folks that would like to talk to us about their portfolios or financial planning, whatever the case may be. The appointments are filling up fast. We'll be at the Radisson Blue, which is connected to the Mall of America in Bloomington. And if you want to call and set up an appointment, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Okay, let's see. The consensus target price for the S&P 500 right now is at just over 4,700, okay? That's the consensus target price when you weigh all of these big of firms on Wall Street weighing in with their target prices, okay? That's the consensus. There's some that are way below that. You had a 3,500 in there somewhere. You don't have many that are too much above that, maybe 48, 49, somewhere in there. Bank of America today boosted their target from 4,000 to 4,300. Well, that's pretty good. Okay, that's a 7.5% increase, something like that. They're raising their year-end target for the broader markets based on the five measures it uses to gauge equities. Well, let's see what those five measures are. One, fair value. Two, sentiment. Three, central bank impact. Four, long-term valuation. And five, priced momentum. Well, those are five pretty good criteria to use.
So essentially they think that the market will finish the year up 2.4% from where we are today?
That's right.
Is that
if they
saying?
Say our S&P target price is $4,300, which is basically, all right, let's see where the S&P is trading right now. The S&P 500 is at 4,195. Well, let's call it 4,200.
Yeah.
They see 100 points upside.
Which is, 2.4%.
For the S&P 500, but okay, that's better than where they were at when their target was 4,000. Sometimes I just wonder as they watch the market action, they say, hey, you know what? Our target is not looking too good. We better raise it a little bit. I'd like to just see a simple formula. I'd like to just see them base it on earnings expectations and a multiple, but instead they've got five different things they use here.
Yeah, because you know internally their number has to move, you would imagine, based on different info. I mean, they've got a model, and so, you know, it, I guess they only announce it every once in a while, you know, when it's what they when they officially are changing it. You know?
Well, yeah, and we just had a, we just finished earnings season where, you know, we were expecting $50 in earnings, which you extrapolate that out, that's annualized $200, okay. For the S&P 500. We made 220 last year. But then we came in with $53 instead. Now you annualize that, that's 212. And then you factor in that the Q3 and Q4 especially. Q4 is expected to be pretty good growth, up near 10%. So, you know, I mean, they've got to, that has to be a big factor here. In them raising their forecast is the earnings season that we just finished. Even though they don't really mention that, you know, it's just, it's, it comes down to mathematics. Morgan Stanley, however, is that our friend Wilson, doesn't buy the bullish technical signal of the S&P 500 breaking above 4,200, which it did last week. The S&P 500 actually did break out on Thursday of last week, the day the NASDAQ broke out. It broke above 4,200, which has been the resistance level. And then it pulled back on Friday with the stalling of the talks with the debt limit. Now, they're still, they see a trading range of 3,800 to 4,200. So obviously they think that 4,200 was resistance, and now I think they're the ones that say it's going to go back and test its old low of 30.
I mean, that's our friend, you know, Mike Wilson, who certainly is more on the bearish side.
Always has been.
Yeah.
So, anyways, they don't buy the fact that, hey, you know what? It looked above that 4,200 there for a little bit last week. That's pretty bullish that it's just a matter of time before it breaks through there with some authority. That's the side I'm on. Okay, now, we do have some earnings coming in this week. Zoom Video, which was in the right place at the right time and was one of the biggest winners back in 2020 during COVID. We're going to get Lowe's, the building supply company, this week. I wouldn't expect much from them because we had a pretty bad report from Home Depot. We're going to get NVIDIA. There will be a lot of eyes on NVIDIA. That's a very volatile stock. It's been hitting new highs recently. Was one of the stocks that bolted higher last Thursday. And we'll get earnings from Dell also. Now, this Micron story, it just seems to me like they're looking for something. There's obviously a Cold War taking place. The Cold War is heating up, I guess you could say, between us and China. China said it found that Micron Technologies products have relatively serious potential network security issues. This is like the pot calling the kettle black, and warned that operators.
Like the, what is it? Remember the Huawei or whatever?
Yeah,
those
Huawei.
Chips? It's almost like the reverse here.
Yeah, they're blaming us of stealing, you know, stuff on them. They warned that operators of critical information infrastructure should stop purchasing the goods. Well, let's just check in on Micron, which has never been one of my favorite stocks because it's flash memory. Micron is down 4.2% today.
Yeah, and the weird thing is honestly, like in terms of their market, there I was told that China doesn't even have a lot, you know, isn't a big source of their revenue, right? In terms of Micron, so I've seen it kind of flow over to, you know, I think Qualcomm, some of the other couple of the other chip names that are in that same space as Micron.
Yes, and this comes as China regulators' comments. They come as tensions between Beijing and the U.S. continue to rise over the supply of semiconductors, and in particular, the advancement of China's chip industry. The U.S. has been clamping down on the selling of certain semiconductor technologies to China on the ground, these products could be used for corporate or government espionage against the U.S. All right. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the big weight loss drugs also providing big cardiovascular benefits. That's a double winner there. What's the name of the stock? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's check in on the markets real fast. It's a split market. It'll be interesting in that final segment of the show to see what it is that's moving. I know that Disney was under some pressure again today. The Dow's down 90 right now. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is up 53, and it'll be interesting to see what's moving there. The NASDAQ, I always love looking underneath the surface at the individual stocks that make up the indexes. Okay, Novo Nordisk, which is probably the world leader, always has been in diabetes. It's been one of the great stocks of all time. And now the stock, let's see what it's doing today. It was up a little bit, but they got some good news on their weight loss drug. Yeah, it's up just a little bit here today. The shares of Danish drug maker Novo Nordisk are up today after a small study from the U.S. demonstrated that the company's weight loss therapy, Wegovy, can also cut the risk of heart disease. Well, I mean,
even better, yeah, it's doing it all.
It should come as no surprise, but right. I go back to a drug back around 2000 that Fenfen that was causing great weight loss, but it was damaging the heart. Okay, and that thing was taken off the market very, very quickly. And, you know, it was the company that was the incident that from that time forth, you know, all biotech drug studies, clinical trials had to include the effects on the heart. So this is double good news, really, that on the one hand, people are losing weight. And on the other hand, it's lowering risk of heart disease. So Wegovy, and we also know that they can't keep Wegovy on the shelf. I mean, the demand is so strong. The doctors are prescribing it faster than Novo Nordisk can produce it at the current time. And then, of course, the rival, Eli Lilly, they're advancing a very similar drug called Mounjaro, for weight loss. And they're hoping to get that out by the end of the year. Now, on top of that, Novo Nordisk has Ozempic, which is a best-selling drug. It's expected to achieve annual sales of $17 billion. By 2029, as it will continue its dominance in the diabetes market. So that's a couple of big blockbuster drugs there. Lilly has their drug Trulicity, which competes. So right now, I would just venture to say that those are probably the two best big pharma companies out there. All right, Meta is hit with a $1.3 billion fine by the EU over data privacy. You know, it just seems like they're constantly settling with somebody who wants money. But I'm sure there's something to it. I think Facebook and Zuckerberg, they know more about me than I do with all of their data gathering that they've done and data farming. And they've paid a lot of fines, and now the EU decided to step in and get theirs.
Yeah, the second biggest fine was an Amazon fine. I saw that, I guess that was a while ago, for 700 and something million. So they know our info, too.
Their ATM machines, for anybody that wants to settle, to fine them, you know, and then accept some kind of a settlement offer. Okay, let's see what else we got here today. PacWest stock, let's check in on them. PACW, PacWest is up. You know, it's up 10% today. That's those stocks have made some significant progress. It started to turn around early last week, and I think the short sellers maybe are finally throwing in the towel. The regional bank sector is up 1.4% today. Comerica is up 3% today. Let's check in on Zion. Zion is up 3.3% today, so that's all good. Maybe. I mean, we've had some false starts or false ends to this regional banking crisis.
Well, definitely, I think the debt ceiling debate has kind of leapfrogged the regional bank.
Maybe it helps
at least at this point. Yeah,
to put that on the back burner. And in the meantime, I think one of the big issues to drop was when Western Alliance said, "Hey, we've taken in $2 billion in deposits since the beginning of the year." And the shorts, like when the lights come on, the cockroaches scatter, and that's what the short sellers did. Now, if history repeats itself, a good strong start in the tech stocks means you'll get a good year for the tech stocks. It bodes well for the rest of the year. And that's all I can say. I mean, from my perspective, by far the sector of 2023 is the tech stocks. And until further notice, until that trend breaks, that trend remains in place. Now, I would say last Thursday it got just a little bit amped up, got a little bit overheated with massive breakouts, which means there's big chunks of money leaving other areas of the market and going into the tech stocks. And I would say the second sector that's doing well this year, and really the only other one, is the home builders, the building sector, which continue to do very, very well, even despite the interest rate environment for 30-year mortgages. Chevron's buying a refinery stock, PDCE. Not much of a premium, though. The stock's only up 8%. And the other refinery stocks are kind of looking at that saying, wow, they didn't pay very much for that. These other refinery stocks,
yeah.
Crack. Let's look at Crack. What is it, CRAK? Crack is the ETF of the refiners. It's up 1.2% today, but it's been flat. It's been flat for about the last 12 months or so. Apple is cut to a hold at Loop Capital, even though Apple had a pretty good earnings report. Apple had a big breakout on that Thursday of last week. It broke out a little bit on Friday. Apple is not that far from an all-time high as it closes in on $3 trillion in market cap. Apple is the biggest company. I think Aramco is the only one that's bigger in the world. I want to say Aramco is about $5 trillion. That's the Saudi Arabia company. Apple is now $2.73 trillion. That's Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, closing in. Will it see $3 trillion?
Yeah, and if you read some things recently. If you broke apart, you know, say three of their different business units, they would, you know, they'd all be like Fortune 50 companies or something. just the wearables part. So with the watch and the earbuds and everything else.
And I think it's interesting that how much the S&P SPY ETF, which is weighted towards market cap, so Apple's like a 5 or 6% company weighting, whereas the equal weighted, you know, I mean, the equal weighted is what, two tenths of 1% for each of the 500 stocks?
Yeah, 0.2%, right? Yeah, so, 0.02. Yeah.
So, I mean, the equal weighted has far underperformed the market cap weighted because of the outperformance of those 10 stocks that I named at the beginning of the show, the big tech stocks. Now you say, is it too late to get into the big tech stocks? Depends on the stock. You know, I look at the valuations. I do five-year valuations. And some of them are still in that buy range. From a technical point of view, they're a little bit overheated. But I'm adding to them all the time at the right time. We had our featured stock of the week in the newsletter over the weekend. If you didn't get the newsletter, you can see what it was. It's not, you know, it's a pretty much under the radar from my perspective, but it's also one of the very best growth stories in the market, hoping to grow their stores from 2,000, which they currently have, to 7,000.
It's got a great looking chart.
And a very good chart, and I even tried it out on Saturday, and I thought, you know what? I can see why this is a good growth story. Pretty good food.
You sampled it, all right.
I sure did. We'll be right back. You got to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're just about 3 weeks out on our trip to Minneapolis. Bloomington, to be precise, Bloomington, Minnesota. And we'll be meeting with folks that would like to meet with myself and Barry. We'll be in on those meetings face-to-face, across the desk, across the table from you. And if you would like to make an appointment from early in the morning till the evening, we're there to serve you and see what we can do to help. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go onto our website and send us a message. Okay, as I look at the Dow now, and look at the internals of the Dow. Let me see where we're at right now with the. It's down 89, it looks like. No, now it's down 144. 32,282. Well, there's a few that are up. American Express, Microsoft. It's big tech again that is the best performer in the market, and Salesforce. But on the downside, you know, Barry, the fallout from that Foot Locker, I don't consider Foot Locker to be a really big bellwether of the whole retail sector. But, man, I'll tell you what, the impact it's had on the retail sector is pretty bad.
It had a ripple effect. I mean, you know, there was one piece of that business, I mean, for a long time, and this is why I was kind of surprised that Nike was kind of down a bit on the same day, simply because Nike's kind of taken, like I said, taken away business in terms of, you know, they offer, obviously, tons of shoes on their own website now, which is a big, big part of their business. So, you know, naturally, you should have, you know, I would think over time, right, you're going to have, you know, less sales, potential, you know, less foot traffic. And it was like all of a sudden, it was like some light bulb went off and all the other ones were like, you know, Abercrombie's like, oh, well, maybe people aren't going to walk in here anymore. Like, I mean, that's happening, right, over time.
I buy all my shoes online now. You know, I don't need the little metal thing to put my foot in and have it sized up. I know what my size.
You don't got to sit on the bench, right? Or sit, no. You know, sit on the bench and wait and all that. But I mean, it's much easier to do so nowadays. And if you don't like them, you put them back in the box and send them back if they don't fit. So
yeah, and the fallout from that report, really too, in the bricks and mortar stores, Nike's down 2.9%. Because obviously Foot Locker sells a lot of running shoes. Procter & Gamble's down 2.6%. It's a consumer staple. And Western Boots, Walgreens Boots Alliance is down 2.5%. So the weakness since that report in the retail sector has been pretty big on the downside. Okay, in the S&P 500, there's really no leadership today, but it is good to see the regional banks. Zion Bank is up 3%. Comerica is up 2.8%. KeyCorp is up 2.4%. I know SpaceX, they had a successful launch. It's a good thing because this time there's four guys.
Yeah, there
are
four.
Right?
Yeah, there are four people on board. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
This morning too. Right? You better work this time, right?
Yeah, a buddy of mine says, man, we can see those launches here from Sullivan's Island or off the beach of South Carolina. He says you can see them.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is, and you'll see, you know, you see on kind of on these neighborhood websites every once in a while, is when one of those Starlinks go by, right, the whole satellite, when they're all linked up, it looks like, you know, a Christmas light thing moving across the sky, and people always are,
he's launched,
you know,
like,
what is this?
Over 30,000 launches now,
right,
from SpaceX, and of course that big stainless steel monster that's going to take people to the moon and back, and someday Mars and back. They had a catastrophic failure 2 weeks ago when it failed to separate
the
booster and the rocket, and that one went right off of our coast here too. I've talked to a couple people that watched it. So Tesla's up 2.4%. I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the successful rocket launch, but probably does. And that one's carrying four astronauts, two from Saudi Arabia, to the space station for a few weeks. Meta is up 2.3%. There you go, big tech. Alphabet is up 2.1%. There you go, big tech. You've also got, let's see, there's one other big tech. Well, Mercado Libre, that's been a hot one. Okay, that's the Amazon of South America. And I have some followers down in Brazil. In Brazil. And they tell me that Mercado Libre stock is just, I mean, the business is just booming. And that symbol is
I always described it like you do, the Amazon of South America.
That's right. MELI is the symbol there. And that thing's breaking out today. The Chinese tech stocks are doing okay. I don't have a lot of faith there in JD and Baidu, and we've owned them in the past, Alibaba, but it's been quite some time. You know, it's very dicey. Now you've got this Cold War taking place. Micron is down 4.1% today. It's the biggest loser in the S&P 500, down 4.1%, or the biggest name of note. Okay, well, the newsletter went out pretty early on Saturday, it had our latest, our S&P 500 target price. It had a featured stock under the radar. That's like 4 weeks in a row now we've put out a featured stock. And you can read all about that. We've got the Minnesota trip coming up in about 3 weeks, June the 13th and 14th, at the Mall of America, Radisson Blue. They've got some nice little conference rooms up there, up the escalator there. And we've got some appointments open, and you can call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go onto our website at GundersonCapital.com. And again, if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, which has those featured stocks in it, what we feature this past week, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.